Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Core Team.
Hello, Army families. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by Army Wife Network's Core Team. This is show number 488, and I'm your host, Allison Poulter.
And tonight I'm your co-host, and my name is Tara Crooks. It's Monday, September 15th, 2014. We made it halfway through September. I can't believe it. And we are just excited that you guys are here with us tonight. The eve, not really the eve of, but, you know, close to the eve of our upcoming field exercise at Fort Meade. Woohoo!
I know. There's always a party going on here at Army Wife Network, so if you're listening to our show live right now, join us in our Twitter party chat. It's a fun, easy way to follow our chat. We use TweetChat. Tune in to blogtalkradio.com/AWTR and open tweetchat.com/room/armywife. Besides the awesome chat and great guests, we have some great giveaways tonight that you'll only catch on Twitter, so you won't want to miss out. You can also follow along at twitter.com/ArmyWife Network using hashtag ArmyWife to participate.
So there I was, yeah, I know, sitting here on TweetChat and wondering why I'm not getting any of the stuff that I'm following, but it's because I didn't sign in. So make sure you guys are signed in when you log over there. Tonight's show, guys, is brought to you by our show sponsor, TDP MetLife. That's TRICARE Dental Plan MetLife. While defending our nation, you can protect your family's smiles and save with TRICARE Dental Program. It's easy to enroll. You can enroll today. To learn how, go to metlife.com/tricare, or if you're not an online kind of girl or gal or guy or whatever, you can also call them. And guess what? I got to tell you, they'll answer the phone. Shocker. I know, not like any other 1-800 number you call. 1-855-MET-TDP-1. Again, that's metlife.com/tricare or 1-855-MET-TDP-1. So go give them a holler. Good to us. They are very good to us here at AWN. So.
That's right. They're great partners. Tonight on AWTR, our guest is Constance Dunn with Practical Glamour. You can follow her tonight when you're following us over on Twitter at Constance Dunn, C-O-N-S-T-A-N-C-E-D-U-N-N. You can find her on Facebook over at Practical Glamour, O-U-R, because she's classy, or at practicalglamour.org. We will also have our Money Minute this evening. But before we get to that, we have some catching up to do because you and I haven't hosted together in a long time.
It has been a while. You know what? I just said tonight, I was downstairs and the kids said, tonight's a Monday night, and always, my daughter, always, does not matter. My little one does not matter. As soon as it's Monday, she goes, oh, it's show night. And it's not like if it was at show night that she would get to hang out with me or something, you know, any more than she probably would, you know. I guess I would be the one doing homework with her instead of daddy, but it's really weird because it's really, because by, you know, she gets to bed at like 8:15, so it's really like only the last hour and 15 minutes of her night, so I don't know, but she's always like, oh, and so she goes, do you have to host tonight, Mom? And I was like, dudes, I've been off for 2 weeks. So, yes, being that this is Army Wife Talk Radio, founded almost 10 years ago, I do have to host today. So it's kind
I mean,
of
you have an icon. You have an avatar. You have to, you know.
Yeah, I have to fulfill my avatar's dream, don't you know?
Right, right.
Yeah, so, yeah. So, she's
so what's
like,
going on?
Man, it's Monday, you know, and, well, we all know where that goes. So last week was our first week back to school, and I had these dreams in my head, Allison, that whenever my children went back to school, it was going to be so awesome. Like, for the first 2 hours after they went back to school, I was going to sit and just listen to nothing. And the truth is, maybe have, you know, some hot tea, watch the Today Show. You know, the things that normal people do with their day, you know, if they are stay-at-home moms, they get, like, a moment to themselves. A moment. Once they drop everybody off, they go, okay. You're like, I used to be able to take that moment. Or even work-at-home moms, you know. But I'm telling you what, it was just nuts. Like, the minute I dropped them off, like, I swear that I bought the school supplies that the school told me to buy from them, which was so convenient, only all the school supplies weren't in that pack, I guess. Because I'm telling you that my daughter, my oldest, already had a list before I even dropped her off. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And then I'd gotten so far behind from summer. I came up immediately, came upstairs. I grabbed my breakfast. I came upstairs and I dug in. And I was like, I told my husband, I said, I'm going to catch up today if it kills me. And he goes, you're going to catch up after 3.5 months of summer in one day? And I was like, yes.
Yes, I am. Watch
my
me.
Email. Like, I got through my email and deleted all the spam, right? And then I got to, like, the action items. And I think I got, like, 3/4 of the way through the action items. And that was it. Like, I didn't even get on to any projects or anything. Like, it was just the email. But that's okay. I still got that email cleaned out. I didn't feel very accomplished by the time the day was over because it did go by very quick. I did not eat lunch because I forgot. I remembered. I was too lazy to stop and do it and go downstairs because then my concentration broke. But I picked her up from school, my oldest, or my youngest, and then I went and got my oldest on the first day. It's always kind of crazy. And I am telling you, you should have seen that school supply list. I mean, like, they killed me. Like, killed me. And every day for the first week of school, every single day, I went to Target, Office Depot, Walmart, or something for something that she had to have by the next day or by Friday. So I'm going to give you guys this word of advice, which you probably already know, but you just nod your head like you've never heard it before. Sometimes the teacher really does say that you have to have something by Friday, okay? They do that because most people won't go get it by Friday anyway, so they just figure, if I tell you by Friday, maybe you'll have it by next Wednesday. But if you are someone like, I know someone named Emily, who's our editor-in-chief, who is like me in this area, and I hate this. When you tell me that you need something, in my head, whether you say it's not due for 3 weeks or not, in my head, you just told me to do it now. It's me, not
right.
You, okay? But when they say you need it by Friday, I'm like, oh, my God, well, what if I have something to do on Thursday and I don't go get it, and then they don't have it by Friday? Well, I better go do it now. No, seriously, I do. So every day I was like, I'm going back to Target, you know, and so, of course, like everything she needs. Like the one day it was, I was just happened to be somewhere else, and she texts me from school, I need a 1/2-inch black binder. I'm like, okay, well, how hard can that be to find? Try 3 office supply stores. 3.
Why?
To find a 1/2-inch black binder. I have no idea. Because every 1/2-inch black binder in this whole damn city is gone, I have no idea. I almost just ordered it online and said, screw it, but it wouldn't be here by Friday. So,
right.
Anyhow, I told her on Friday, I said, you better turn in everything that you want right now because if I don't get it this weekend, we don't go. And, you know, I'm kind of organized to the point where, like, I go to the store once a week and I will go to, like, the grocery store and maybe Walmart or just Walmart, you know, and get groceries at Walmart because we have a nice Walmart here. But I do not go unless you really have to have something. I go on Friday, and otherwise you don't get it till next week. Yeah, so it was a crazy week anyhow. And we geared up for soccer, and then Renna, and so she started soccer that week too, and so now we got soccer games going on the weekends, and she auditioned for a musical.
Do they both like it equally?
School or soccer?
Do you feel like soccer?
Chloe doesn't play soccer. She soccer is for girls who don't wear skirts.
Awesome.
And Chloe only wears skirts. I don't know if you know that about her. Have I not told you that?
I didn't know. No.
Oh, no, she doesn't wear pants. Pants are not for girls.
Oh.
I was like, so is there something I need to go check?
Helen would like to know that. She loves pants. I can't put a dress on her.
Oh, my God, everything has to be a dress. And it's like in the winter when it gets cooler and you have to put on tights or, you know, put on something. Like, it is a fight to have. Like, I can get her to wear shorts underneath her dress, but she still wears a dress. She's gotten a little better. I got her some little yoga capris that she, like, kind of will wear sometimes with a T-shirt if she's outside. And I say, hey, you really don't need to have a dress on while you ride your scooter or whatever, right? So she'll go put those on. But she's not happy about it. And she has one pair of jeans. So, yeah. So, yeah, so she doesn't play soccer because soccer is for her big sissy. And she does gymnastics.
Okay.
And we have not gotten going on that yet because we wanted to get the soccer thing underneath our belt before we – because gymnastics, you can start at any time. So we took the summer off. We're going to start back up, but we probably after I get back from my event. And then Ren auditioned for a musical, too, this past Friday and got a part – well, she had auditioned. Everyone had to audition, but she wanted to do the crew. And so she's going to be one of the runners for the – she's the head runner, as a matter of fact, for the back of the Seussical musical.
That's awesome.
Yep. And then not much else except for – oh, well, yeah, Labor Day and my birthday. You guys let me off, so that was cool. I got to spend last Monday – with my family, you know, not on the show, which was Monday before last, really nice. Everybody was off for my birthday, I guess.
Yes.
And I celebrated by saying, you're welcome. Didn't want you to work on Labor Day. I celebrated by saying that I lost 47 pounds. I'm very excited. I really wanted to get to 50. I was just so ready to say that I've been to 50, but 47 is pretty damn good. But then I don't think I've told you guys this because I haven't been on the show. Yeah, I fell and I dislocated my kneecap. Don't ask. Anyway, I don't have anything glamorous to tell you except for that I was throwing the ball for my dog and my bowling ball of another dog who's a heeler came up behind me trying to chase Bob to get his ball and knocked into the back of my leg just the right spot for it to buckle and I fell on it. But,
man, Tara,
it hurt like something fierce, but it's getting better.
I bet it
did. Yep. So, anyway, in better news, what have you been doing a Veterans Day event that you've got coming up here? November,
okay,
right?
Okay, so when we yes, November the 8th. So when we moved here, I couldn't find a job. And then I thought, well, I'll offer to volunteer, and maybe that'll get me in the door somewhere. So there was So there's a gentleman here that owns, it's called Delmarva Veteran Builders, and he only hires veterans as contractors, workers for the construction contracts that he gets, which is awesome. He's a cool guy. So I read this in the Chamber of Business Review, and I was like, sweet, I'll email him and see if he wants any help, like event planning or marketing or anything like that. So I emailed him, and he's totally not like a tech guy. But he met with me, and we had coffee, and he's lovely, and he's in the Navy. And he said, but the city council president and I want to do this 5K for Veterans Day, and we'd like you to help us do that. And I said, okay, sure. Like, I'm, you know, eager Annie. So we get the three of us together, and they say, we want you to do this. We want it to happen, and we know the people to help you make it happen, but we want you to do this. So it has become a much bigger thing than I had originally intended, which is fine. Like, I love it, and it's a cool thing for this community, especially if it's a non-military community. But, man, like, from the you can help us to the we can help you was a real quick turnaround. But I've gotten to meet some really cool people and make some good contacts, and it's been a good thing. It's just it happened fast and furious. So.
Well, it all happens for a reason, but I sure don't have any patience waiting for it to happen, right?
Right? Me neither. And in the town we used to live in, like when we were stationed at Riley, I knew who to call if I needed T-shirts. I knew who to call if I needed porta-potties. I knew who to call if I needed money for something. Here, I don't. Like, I don't know those people yet. You know them enough to be like, I know that you can cough up $500 for a DJ or for the race equipment, like, you know, the timer and all that stuff. Like, come on, you can do it. I don't know people here like that yet. So it's been a challenge. It's been a great challenge because by the time it's over, I will know all of those people. But, man.
You'll have to dig in and really get networked. And sometimes that takes some time. Now, how long are you going to be there?
Well, we are here for another year and a half. Right.
Okay.
I know.
Okay. All right. So so about the time that you get it all figured out.
I'll leave. Right. It's fine.
I'm so positive, aren't I?
No, I don't think that every time I make a phone call or send an email and say, I'm the event coordinator for this event, that I'm like, I'm the event coordinator this year. I may not be next year. You may not need to know who I am because I won't be around that long. So we'll see. But it'll be a fun day regardless in a great little town that is a non-military community to see the wholly civilian population turn out for it and come together for it. Because we have a really large veteran population, we just don't have an active population at all. So it'll be a nice day, even if I only do it this year. I'm hoping we'll do it next year, but, you know, it is what it is.
But you know what? No matter what, it will still be something you can put on your resume. So that's good.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So, you know, so that's going on. And then, so I'm still toying with starting my own business to basically do what I'm doing for this for, you know. I feel like in our community, in this community and in a lot of communities, small businesses have a really hard time managing social media and marketing and doing their own PR because they can't afford the big firms to do it for them. And they don't have the time or the know-how to do it themselves in a productive way. And I feel like, especially because of my AWN work, that I am learning how to do that. So I think that I can help some of the local, very small local businesses do some of that. I have a couple of potential clients, so we'll see. I'll keep it posted. We'll see.
Well, I think that is a great business. I absolutely agree with you, and I hope it takes off, and then you'll be able to take it with you maybe to the next place that you go, and then you'll have something of your own.
That was kind of what I was thinking. And I just feel like there's a gap here between the big companies that have full-time staff that do their social media management, their marketing, and their event planning, to the businesses that it's like 2 employees or 4 employees. You know what I mean? So we'll see.
Yep, absolutely. There's a lot of, here in this area, a lot of small businesses that are small in that, you know, they have more, I think of myself as a small business, but we don't have employees. These are people who have like 10 to 12 employees, but they still need somebody to do the kind of stuff. You know, like they have enough money to pay somebody to do something, but not the money, like you said, that you would have to pay somebody if it was, you know, a big company that you wanted to hire to do it. So, and, you know, sometimes to not have to pay a big company and not have another employee to feed, mouths to feed or whatever, you know. And be able to hire an independent contractor is nice. Yeah, that's nice, too, for them. So it works out well for everybody.
Yeah.
All right, well,
yeah.
Let's talk about what's going on at AWN. Oh, I know you got some awesome grandma commercial. I have missed that commercial so much.
I know. I'm going to play it. Well, I think I'm going to play it right now.
Let's do it.
Hold the phone.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives. A network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
Hey, and check it out.
That's right. We've got some really good hot topics going on over at Army Wife Network and all around the internet this week. Our general hot topic, a conversation about tens of thousands more medical staff are needed, says the VA chief. The Department of Veterans Affairs needs tens of thousands more personnel working in VA hospitals and clinics to meet patient demand. The new VA Secretary, Robert Bob McDonald, told lawmakers Tuesday at a hearing of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. Congress is pressing to clarify VA staff shortages as the department struggles to recover from a patient wait time scandal. Demand for care grows due to a forced drawdown, and the nation at large also copes with a shortage of health workers, particularly mental health care workers. So check that out. It's all over the internet, especially over at Stars and Stripes. And that was the big topic in the military community this week.
All right, so hot on AWN this week was a blog by none other than Allison. Dun, dun, dun. And
I know,
really,
and I didn't know it was coming.
Very, very popular. Allison shared her thoughts on the 13th anniversary of the horrible attacks on September 11th of 2001 and the impact that day has actually had on our children. The title of the blog was Our Children Won't Remember. It was a very, very deep and well-written written blog on lovingasoldier.com. And again, Allison's blog called Our Children Won't Remember posted on the 11th. And
yep.
You want to say good stuff, but it's not. I mean, it was good.
No,
stuff,
good,
but it wasn't
sort of anything.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'm glad that it got read. I'm glad that it was so well written for that reason. But, oh, man, what a hard day. And I am telling you what, I was walking on pins and needles. I woke up with an uneasy feeling, and I could not shake it. I still honestly can't really shake it. This is a very time of a lot of unrest and just a scary time.
I said to Tom that morning, I was like, I feel like something bad's going to happen. But I feel like I say that to him every year, and there's really nothing. I mean, so Benghazi was a horrible day, but I get that feeling every year, and I don't know if it's just me being crazy in my head.
No,
or
I just
if
think
I just...
it was just such a shocking day. I think that so many of us just didn't see it coming. We almost wanted to prepare ourselves or something. I don't even know how to explain that. I don't know. Intuition, but then when it doesn't happen, I question that intuition. I just don't, I mean, I don't, and you're like, question it, but then you're like so thankful. Like, oh, thank God I was wrong. You know? I don't know.
Right,
it's
but
just,
kind of.
It's just always such
so,
a
I don't know, but it was,
hard
it was
day.
It was a hard one to write, but I'm glad that it was read and related to.
Well received. Yes. How about that?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm glad that it was well received.
Yes.
I agree completely.
So, and then our social media roundup tonight, have you checked out our YouTube channel? I love our YouTube channel. There you will find AWN's Resource of the Week. Check out our Military Kids, a wonderful organization supporting mill kids with a deployed or injured parent of the National Guard and Reserves. They also service children of wounded warriors, offering grants in areas such as sports, fine arts, and more. So check it out over on our YouTube channel.
All righty. Last but not least, we've got public service announcement. Hey, guys, if you or your business has a military-related PSA, we limit these to one per show, and we do ask for them a little in advance because we plan our show about 7 to 10 days out. So, but if you do have one, shoot it over to us at info@armywifenetwork.com. Tonight we have Corbius Foundation. They've awarded $100,000 in educational grants to military spouses. They are a private charitable foundation. They're the charitable arm of Corvius Group. I'm sure you guys know Corvius from what they've done with us here at Army Wife Network. You've probably heard of them before. But if not, they do own a lot of the privately owned and managed housing on a lot of our military installations here in the Army. They have been committed to supporting military families in the pursuit of higher education since 2006. This year alone, the Corvius Foundation has awarded 20 grants totaling $100,000 to the spouses of active duty service members. Since its founding, CEO John Pisern, since its founding by Corvius Group, CEO John Pisern, the foundation has awarded more than $5.2 million in grants and scholarships to the spouses and the kids of active duty service members. And this year, the recipients are stationed at 9 Army and Air Force installations across the U.S. They basically founded this in 2006. It's called Our Family for Families First Foundation. The work increases to access to educational internship, mentoring, and volunteering opportunities so that those that they are in touch with or those that they help are empowered to pursue their dreams and make a greater impact in service of their community and their nation. They strive for ever-increasing opportunities by providing the resources and networks needed to help our scholars and partners surpass their goals. They achieve it through commitment to education, community engagement, and high-impact charitable giving. You can find out more about these scholarships if you're interested in what ones are available every November at corviusfoundation.org. So November's coming up here, just a month and a half away. So if you are interested in one of those and want to try to get one of those educational grants, Corvius, C-O-R-V-I-A-S, foundation.org, or you can call 401-228-2836 for more information. So that's it for our PSAs tonight. Coming up after these quick commercial breaks is Army Wife Network's News 6 Corey, bringing us all the need-to-know stories. So hang on tight, guys. We'll be right back.
While defending our nation, your active duty service member can protect their family smiles with the TRICARE Dental Program, TDP. It's dental protection that's deserved. This dedicated military service entitles spouses and or children and members of the National Guard or Reserve to receive comprehensive dental coverage. Plus, money can be saved. We offer affordable monthly premiums for an individual depending on sponsor status with little or no cost shares on many dental services. But don't forget, TRICARE dental coverage requires enrollment. The TRICARE medical program options do not include TRICARE dental coverage. Call 1-855-MET-TDP1 or visit us online at tricare.mil/TDP for more details. So your family's smiles are protected and you can start saving today. Again, that number is 1-855-MET-TDP1 or visit us online at tricare.mil/TDP. Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit armywifenetwork.com for details. It's time for the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6, Corey, bringing you your need-to-know news. In tonight's top story, the Pentagon details President Obama's plan to send 475 more troops to Iraq. In a televised speech on Wednesday, President Obama laid out his plan to combat ISIS militants in Iraq, including the deployment of 475 soldiers to the region. Pentagon Press Secretary Navy Rear Admiral John Kirby discussed when troops will begin to arrive and their intended mission. The press secretary stated that the additional soldiers could begin to arrive in the region relatively quickly with the advance parties deploying within the next week or so. Kirby said the six assessment teams already in Iraq will transition to an advise and assist mission, which will be reinforced by the additional troops announced by the president. We're talking about somewhere between 15 and 20 advise and assist teams total when they're all there and all manned up, Kirby said. The teams will be advising and assisting at the brigade or higher headquarters level. The admiral emphasized that the additional troops are to have a non-combat role while in Iraq. In our next story, the Army is inviting women to apply for the Elite Ranger School. In an unprecedented move, the Army has opened up the application process for Ranger School to female soldiers. The call for female applicants is part of the Army's ongoing effort to determine whether and how to open combat arms military occupational specialties to women. Senior Army leaders are expected to decide in January if they want to move forward with this one-time integrated Ranger School. If the senior officials give the go-ahead, the class will likely take place in the spring, and the Army will need volunteers already in place and ready to go, hence the call for interested applicants now. If the class does take place, it will be a first for the Ranger School, which until now has only been open to men. As part of the assessment, the Army is seeking two groups of volunteers. First, the Army is seeking female soldiers who want to attend Ranger School as students. Women in ranks of specialist through major can apply. They must be able to meet the physical qualifications and prerequisites to attend Ranger School. Second, female soldiers can volunteer to serve as observers and advisors to the Airborne and Ranger Training Brigade. These positions are open to staff sergeants through master sergeants, chief warrant officers 2 and 3, and first lieutenants through majors. The second group of volunteers will not be Ranger instructors, and they won't evaluate students in the course. Female volunteers who successfully complete and graduate from Ranger School will receive a graduation certificate and be awarded and authorized to wear the Ranger tab. However, pending future decisions about whether women will be allowed to serve in combat arms MOSs, they will not receive the associated Ranger skills identifiers or be assigned to Ranger-coded units or positions. Application packets for both groups of volunteers are due October 10th. In our final story, the Star-Spangled Banner gracefully turns 200. Yesterday, the Star-Spangled Banner celebrated its 200th birthday. On September 14, 1814, Francis Scott Key wrote the poem that would later be put to music as he observed the British bombardment of Fort McHenry from a ship in Baltimore Harbor. As the sun rose on the morning of the 14th, Key was able to see the America flag still flying proudly over the fort, having survived a 25-hour assault by the British Navy. Key quickly wrote the first verse of the poem on the back of a letter while still aboard the ship. The first verse is the most commonly known. It's often the only portion sung today. Key later expanded the poem by adding three verses. By October of 1814, the poem was printed in newspapers across the country. The poem was originally set to music. The music made Key's words and the imagery they conveyed even more powerful and helped increase the popularity. In the 1890s, the military adopted the song for the raising and lowering of the American flag at official ceremonies. President Hoover officially made the Star-Spangled Banner the country's national anthem in March 1931. And those are your need-to-know news stories for this week. Stay tuned to the Army Wife Network Twitter feed and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6. Corey, signing out.
Wounded warrior Dale Beatty is beginning the most important journey of his life.
Swift 1-2 en route with urgent ASAC. Now, copy.
From the battlefield to home. Home to some very good medicine. His family's love. They'll be staying together at a Fisher House. Fisher House Foundation provides comfortable housing and other services to the families of wounded warriors and veterans while they receive care at military and VA hospitals. Remember those who serve and sacrifice. Make a donation to Fisher House because a family's love is good medicine.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Miss the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Allison Poulter.
And I'm your co-host, Tara Crooks. Tonight, guys, we have with us Constance Dent, a regular on-air contributor, columnist, speaker, and lecturer focused on all aspects of presentation, both nonverbal and verbal communication, style, etiquette, I can't talk tonight, grooming and manner. Oh, man, she's going to ding me right now. She has a BA from Temple University and a master's in communication management from the University of Southern California.
Her book, Practical Glamour, is called A Handy, Relatable Resource for Women Everywhere Who Want to Look and Feel Their Best. A second book on manners and behavior is due out in October. It's due out in 2014. Welcome to our show, Constance. How are you?
Ladies, can you hear me?
We can. Yes, hello, hello.
You guys have a great show.
Oh, we're having a good time. Having a good time tonight. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and I'm just curious, who lost the 47 pounds?
That was me. That was Tara.
Congratulations. That's amazing. And you have to do, if you haven't already done a show, to just share some tips and tricks, because I'd like to get in on that action.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have some secret weapons. I did tell Miss Janet, our blog manager, that next year I'm going to do 12 blogs, and I mapped them all out. I said, this is what I'm going to write about. I thought about doing it on my own site, but I'm going to do it over here. And so I sent her and the first blog that I'll come out with is inspired by Emily, who was making a joke one day, and I totally was like, you know what? She's right. So anyway, I will share some of those. But, yeah, it's been a lot of hard work. Started in January, and I bet it's probably down to only losing 45 pounds, but we'll see what happens tomorrow when I weigh in, because I haven't been able to exercise since I hurt my knee. It's not been fun.
Hopefully,
I held off, but Weight Watchers, really, counting Weight Watcher points is how I got started. So, and then once I got down far enough that I felt like I could exercise, I added that too. But it's been a good feeling.
I have to ask, just because I do research with an area called people perception, and I'm curious, have you noticed any difference in how others interact with you based on your massive weight loss?
You know, because I do so much online, the only place that I've seen different was at my daughter's school for the PCA. I mean, I think that there are people now that will that knew me. There are people now that knew me then that, you know, are like, oh, my gosh, she's lost so much weight. And then there's people that probably never would have spoken to me in that, because I'm in a non-military area right now, they probably would have never even looked the other way, but now all of a sudden, yeah. So, yeah, I guess I can say a little bit. A lot of the stuff I do online, so no one would know the difference, unless they call me in person, I guess.
Yeah, it's very interesting sometimes to, sometimes just for fun or just, I like to kind of see the person within. Like sometimes if I'm around a very elderly person, I like to see the young man within. You know, I don't know if you've ever done that.
Yeah.
Sometimes with people, like if someone is very large, I look at the really slender woman within, and then likewise, if someone's very slender, it's
now, see, okay, so I will tell you this, and then we'll dig in here. I didn't mean to take off. Allison's like, what happened to our show? I will tell you that.
No,
I
like interviewing Kara Crooks, too. That's a fun game.
I absolutely still see the same person in the mirror. So either I didn't believe that the only time I ever think to myself, gosh, I guess I did lose a lot of weight, is because no one ever really said anything. Like I said, everything I do is online. So unless I took a picture, you know, you really wouldn't have known. So the only time that anybody started saying something was maybe like in the last 2 months. So it must have all of a sudden shown up and you could really tell that I'd lost. But when I put on clothes, like now it's the change of season. So I'm going to my fall clothes and I'm putting them on and I'll be like, wow, okay, well, this is huge, you know, like, it fit me just last time I put on. I remember putting it on last year and thinking it was tight, so, you know, I'll notice then, or I'll notice in a picture with my children sometimes, I'll be like, oh, wow, yeah, but I still see the same person, and I still act the same, and
oh,
all that
sure.
Jazz, so.
Sure,
I will,
sure,
I will, I will be honest and tell you that I feel like I can get away with a little bit more, like maybe not completely doing up all my makeup or I can just twist my hair up in a clip or something like that, where before I really felt like to look pretty and presentable,
right,
I had to be finished.
Right,
very,
you
amped very
it
polished.
Up a little.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Yep.
Okay.
I will be honest and say that. I've said it to my husband. I've said I think that thinner people get away with more. And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, I mean, I've always kind of thought that, but I think that I really believe that now because there are days that I feel like I can get away with maybe not doing it up as much as I used to feel like I had to. So, but that may just be me, you know? Who knows? Anyhow.
Well, speaking of etiquette, I had some pretty bad etiquette by starting off interviewing you guys. So.
Hey, that's all right. We're used to it.
I like
right,
to be
Allison?
Kept on my toes. I like to be kept on my toes. It's a nice challenge. But, Constance, so you interviewed us. We want to know about you. Tell us where you're calling from. Tell us a little bit about your backstory. Tell us a little bit about the inner you. We want to know.
Okay, well, I am calling from Los Angeles, which is kind of the image capital of the, one of the image capitals of our nation, where there's a lot of very pretty pictures created, and all that is wonderful. But as I started studying communication and doing research, and just in my everyday life, seeing what made someone more appealing or more striking to others or to myself, I realized that it wasn't just a function of, let's say, wearing beautiful clothes or having a beautifully made-up face or a lovely figure. All those things are great, but the other half of the equation, which has always been missing, in my opinion, when you look at you know, mainstream beauty magazines, lifestyle information, is the other half of the equation has to do with the communication aspect, the etiquette aspect, the demeanor, anything from how I feel when I hear your voice to when you walk into a room, how you look and how you feel, how others feel around you and how you feel about yourself. So my goal really is to twine the two. When people say, oh, it's inside that is what matters, I say it certainly is, but you can have all of it. So the idea is I talk to men and women about optimizing what they have because we all have something. We all have a lot, and to find out what is particularly wonderful about you and really bring that to the forefront and share it with other people. And that's no matter where we are in terms of our age or our budget or you know, I sometimes think about the 19-year-old working at the Dairy Queen in Des Moines. My books are for her.
Yes, amen to the Dairy Queen in Des Moines. Those people need to feel glamorous, too.
Exactly.
To feel glamorous, too.
Well, and feeling glamorous is so relative, so, you know, and we're going to talk about that. You talk about your personal presentation. You say it's made up of many parts, and I was looking over your website and then also the books, and I thought, okay, you know what, that's where I want to dig. I want to dig into all those different parts and explain each one of them individually. So can you start by just explaining to us what are the parts of the presentation, the personal presentation?
Right. So there's basically, I think of it almost as four pillars, right? So the first pillar is grooming and beauty. And these are really, this is a very important area. So many, often just having wonderful grooming and having a sense of what works for you in terms of hair color, having just well-groomed nails, is really something that can create a really wonderful feeling within yourself. And of course, a lot of what I do, it's about, of course, pleasing others, but also the first person that it serves is yourself, because we all know as women and men too, but I know that it's women I'm talking with this evening, is that when you look good, you feel good and you perform better. That's why, you know, doing whatever you need to do every morning, you do that for yourself, right? Even if no one's going to see you, you're going to just work more efficiently. You're going to be happier. This is very important, and I use glamour in a kind of offbeat sense. I mean glamour to mean that individual spark that is unique to yourself, and you know it. Let's just say you went to the salon and you just got a blowout, and you're walking down the street, and you just feel lifted. There's something about you. You're communicating. You're at an enhanced level at that point. So one of the pillars is grooming and beauty. I lump them together. The other is individual style. Style, I think of, it's not just clothes, shoes, and accessories. It's communication. It's one of our most visible pillars of communication to others. We really communicate a lot to others by our choices in style. And we might say, oh, I can't stand clothes, but like it or not, it's happening by default. If I walk up to you and I have, you know, I'm wearing all leather, you know, and studs, you're going to have one perception of me versus if I walk up in a business suit. It's just what's going on, and it's just how we assess one another. So utilize it to your advantage. Communicate something authentic about yourself and communicate in a way that, again, satisfies you. And the third and fourth pillar, I kind of split them up, but our communication. On one hand, it's our verbal communication. It's our elocution. It's how we choose to say things, how we say everyday things, how we speak to people. And it could include our pronunciation, our vocal quality, all these things are up for grabs. We can change them as we wish. Another aspect is our nonverbal communication. So that can go from our gestures, how we treat other people. As you know, we are assessing each other all the time, not because we want to be mean, but we just assess each other. We see how people treat others. We note these things about each other, and it really goes very far as to how we perceive one another. And all of these things are within our grasp, and that's why, more than anything, it's very important for everyone to know that it doesn't matter if someone called you ugly or you grew up with people, you know, giving you incorrect perceptions of yourself. You can change. All of this is up for grabs, all of it.
That's an incredibly inspiring statement that all of it is up for grabs. So let's say you're, I don't know, me, and you're a stay-at-home mom, and there are days you don't get out of your pajamas. Let's just say, hypothetically, that there is someone whose presentation isn't where they'd like it to be. What can we do? What can be a first good, I did that step, where should we start if our presentation isn't what we feel like it should be?
Okay, well, first start with a vision, and I know that either both of you or one of you has a marketing background. Well, I guess both of you probably do with broadcasting. So the idea is you first, when you talk to clients, you don't really get into the details of the messaging. You probably get an idea of where they are now and, well, what do you want to say to the world about your product or your firm, or what do you want to say to the world about yourself? First, get an idea of what you want to, an overall talking point, if you will. And that's a really good place to start. And it's important that as you tackle each of these areas, let's just say, you know, my communication is great, my verbal communication, I'm happy with my voice, but, you know, my style, you know, there's a problem there. This is not really, you know, it doesn't make me very happy when I open my closet. Well, you can get some overall ideas. There's something called a personal style brand, which is just to do some work, take a, you know, piece of paper and a pencil, and just jot down a phrase of how you want others to perceive you. It's basically a footnote or a compass that orients all of your purchases for your clothing. It could be anything from whether you're going to buy a new pair of sunglasses or barret. The idea is that you start buying things in a very conscious way instead of just haphazardly walking into the store and going, that looks kind of neat. I think that's kind of cool. You have a very definitive idea of what works for your body. Not just that, also what colors work for you, what are perfect, what really flatters your unique hair, skin, eye combination. And then you also think about characteristics. What do I want to say? Does this help me say that or not? It might seem silly, but once you start doing it, you're really going to like the results.
Constance,
really,
can I ask a really quick follow-up question?
Yes.
Is there a point where you can go too far with that and be too overly conscious, be too overly...
Or not yourself.
Overly concerned? Do you see what I'm saying? That there's a, I feel like there's a line between what is the true presentation of you as a genuine presentation and what becomes fake and too much.
Or what you're trying to get across, maybe?
I see. Well, I have seen, if you're referring, I remember somebody that did a very major makeover for themselves, and they did end up really enjoying their impact and how they felt, utilizing and all these different, nails and hair and tanning, and they really liked how their world changed, and they started really getting fixated on it to a very, pretty, somewhat extreme extent. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or
is it just because it's not you, right, Allison?
Yeah.
I mean, like don't we all kind of,
I'm tanning because I feel like the girls that I hang out with want me to tan. Or that I'm on a diet because all of my friends are on diets, but I don't really care to be on a diet because it's not really what my concern is or where my insecurity lies. It's not really me. I'm just doing it because I feel like I have to. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No. This should always be about just your own satisfaction. And again, a lot of what I talk about is kind of shortcuts, because I myself would rather be doing a lot of other things. I don't necessarily spend a lot of time. For instance, I do my own nails because I'd rather just save the money and not be in a salon for an hour a week, that type of thing. So it's always about yourself. It's always about doing those things to create a most satisfying version of yourself.
Right.
I just always think as I get older, especially since I've got older, I kind of have a personal style that has defined me that, it just is me. Like when my husband goes to the store, for instance, he doesn't even buy his own clothes for the love of God, because we would all look like from 1987 throwback. But anyhow, it's a whole other show. But he got me a shirt for my birthday, and it was perfect. Like I opened it up, and I was like, oh. And he goes, you know what? He said I was walking. It was a workout shirt. It wasn't like it was anything, mildly exciting or anything. I opened it up, and he goes, I didn't spend a lot. You told me not to spend a lot. I know you want a purse, and you want to pick it out yourself. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, but I got you this. And I said, oh, my gosh, babe, it's perfect. And he said, really, it's the right size and everything? I looked in your closet, and I was like, yeah, and it's the right size and everything. And I said, but it really is, you did good. And he said, I walked in the store. I wasn't there to buy anything for you, and I saw that shirt, and I said, that's my baby.
That is really sweet.
Yeah, and it was just like a $15, $20 workout shirt. It was no big deal, but it really was. It looked like me. And so to him, and to me, I guess, too, that looks like something that I would wear, that I would pick out. So, do I dress a little bit differently? Like if I'm going to go dress up for a presentation, would I dress more, dressy than I would like if I work at home? Yes, but I think we all kind of can find our personal style in that, too. Allison, to answer your question, and so there is a fine line between you see those makeover shows, I guess I always think, when I'm picking out clothes, I'm always like, oh, I don't want to be that makeover show where they're like, dude, you don't realize it, but you look like crap. Like,
They
were nominated. They were nominated for that show. They didn't seek that show out. So they may look great, but if it's not a priority for them, in 6 months, are they going to look the way they looked before?
I don't know. I always wonder that.
Something that they chose?
Yeah, I don't know. But it is important to, you know, if you're not where you want to be, like if that girl who was on that show, if she picked herself, you know, and said, hey, I want a makeover, I want a new look, I'm not where I want to be, I want to find out what my style is, what does look good on me, you know, whatever, I guess that would be a different angle to look at that. So if you're ready for a change and you want a change and you're feeling like that and you're uncomfortable, and as a matter of fact, I was just saying in the, we were talking about weight loss when we started, and I just said in the chat that I didn't start losing weight because I thought I was not pretty or I wasn't, you know, I loved Tara Crooks. I still love Tara Crooks. I still see the same person because I'm still Tara Crooks. But I wanted to lose weight because I wanted to be healthier. I wanted my knees, ironically, to not take the hit that my mom, I went to stay with my mom after hip and knee surgery in January, and that is when I decided I was going to commit to losing weight because I did not want to have the struggles that she had, and I wanted to lose some weight so that I would not have to deal with that. And so it was about getting healthy and you know, feeling more comfortable in my clothing, not about looking prettier. And it's funny because I thought when I got down this magic weight, I was not going to see, you know, all these things were going to magically go away. I wasn't going to look at my flabby arm and think, oh, arm, you're flabby. But guess what? You still do. So anyhow, we're off on a different topic. But all right, let's get back to these pillars you said that you were talking about. Let's talk about this wardrobe, a personal wardrobe, a style you're trying to make for yourself. Is there a way to kind of, or do you have tips, I guess I should say, for creating just an excellent personal wardrobe, like something that everybody should have?
Well, yes. First of all, I recommend that you go shopping in your closet. There's something called the 80-20 rule, which a lot of us women are guilty of, and it sounds like you guys have a really good sense of your style. So you've already done a lot of work in this area, so congratulations. But a lot of us buy, we have about, in our closet, we often have very overstuffed closets, so we kind of think of them as holding areas or places where we put our memories, or we have about, we only use about 20% of our clothes 80% of the time, so I use that as a little analogy. So a great place to start is hit the closet, and if you haven't done so in a while, engage in a ruthless closet cleaning, and you might want to have a friend help you out with this, someone who is going to be honest with you and who is going to be merciless. And when you have the, you know, the members only jacket or its equivalent, we were talking about 80s clothes, I am guilty of 90s clothes. I had to get rid of some white leather mini skirts from my club days in the 90s.
And those are going to be back next year. You're going to regret that.
I know. And I just got rid of them, too. I had the Lucite heels, too. So there you go.
Oh,
but
girl.
I know. And so you rethink of your closet as a workspace. That's the whole thing. It's a workspace. And you kind of go in there really going and looking at each item. And each item has to pass the 3C test. That's cut, color, characteristic, right? So the cut means it has to fit you and it has to flatter your figure or look pleasing to you when you put it on, right? Also, the color, you can wear any color you want. It just has to be the right shade. So there are some great tips, and I have them on my website. I don't want to run out of time, but you can find little ways that you can find your best shades, especially if you're in a store and you're kind of not sure about which shade to do. There are some little tricks you can do to find the right shade, because I bet there's some items in some of the audience's closets that they don't wear because they can't stand the color, because the color doesn't work for them. So it has to pass the color test.
Why did they let them buy that? I won't buy anything that's – I will not buy yellow. There's not a single speck of yellow in my closet. But you can go in there and you can see what I wear. I wear teal and red and turquoise and peach and black.
Okay.
And
so you're good. So probably when you go into a store, there's you might see an item like, okay, that's a cute dress, but it's not in your color. So you just walk on by,
I do.
Right?
I'm horrible at that.
You're very good. You're a role model for women everywhere.
Oh, but I'm horrible at that.
So many ways. But
I can't tell you how many things I've bought and never taken the tags off of, because I have thought to myself, I'll do something different, and I will buy this yellow shirt or this whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my God, it'll just sit there, and I'm like, why did I do this? Or if I'm not really sure that I like it, you know. So, anyhow, yeah, colors. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I will say – because Allison's going to make us go to break, but I'll say that if you need that girl to help you clean your closet, that is me. If I haven't worn it. You know, and before you make us break, Allison, Here, have you ever heard of this, Constance? Have you ever heard that when you wear, I don't know where I learned this or who said it, but when you wear a shirt, if you will turn everything the opposite direction, okay, in your closet, like hang it from the back, you know, so it's hanging
fresh
funny.
Eyes.
And then as you wear it, you hang it back the right way. And then at the end of the season, if you have not turned that hanger around, then it gets donated.
Oh, that's good. That's very good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I did not know that.
There's your Pinterest tip for the day. You can own that one, Constance. I won't ever know.
Oh, no.
I have no idea who told me that, but I thought that's an excellent idea. So there you go.
Yeah. And you know what? Your final test there for each item is the characteristic. If it just doesn't represent who you are today and who you think, you know, it could be a specialty item. Let's say you don't have to toss like the beautiful kimono that you wear sometimes. But if it's really not representative of who you are, then it's a really good idea to recycle it or let someone buy it at the Goodwill from you. Because the idea is that small closets are healthy. Sometimes, and I know this is just psychology, that sometimes we see that there's not a lot of clothes in the closet. We might feel like, oh, we're a pauper, and we feel much more prosperous when there's tons of stuff hanging around. Well, that's not the case. The idea is that you're making a very personalized boutique for you. So when you open up that door to your closet, everything in there really looks good, it fits you, and it really helps present you to your maximum or, you know, reasonably satisfying way each day. But everything works for you, because the worst is when there's a whole heap of items that you say, oh, I've got like tons of clothes and nothing to wear. Very common problem. So it starts with you just by basically emotionally detaching from some of your clothes and really saying, does this serve me? If it doesn't, it has to go. Because you know what? You're going to leave a window for more beautiful things to come your way.
Amen. Okay, ladies. We have to take a quick break. We'll come right back, I promise. Don't forget the AWN core team has some fun discussions going over on Twitter. We are giving away things. Head on over to the Twitter chat at twitter.com/ArmyWife Network using hashtag ArmyWife to participate. When we come back, we'll talk about color. We'll talk about neglecting areas of our presentation. We'll talk about all kinds of stuff. We will be right back with ArmyWife Talk Radio.
Love where you live. When you move into a Corvius home, you'll find more than just convenient on-post housing at 7 Army installations across the country. You'll also find fun family events, upscale fitness centers, resort-style pools, and more. Our award-winning customer service, 24-hour maintenance, and smiling faces are just waiting to welcome you. Love your next home at CorviusMilitaryLiving.com. That's CorviusMilitaryLiving.com. Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Setting realistic savings goals. This is a Defending Your Cash Minute from In Charge Education Foundation and MilitaryMoney.com. Want a better car? Need to cover education costs? Or are you simply in need of a new TV in time for the Super Bowl? Unless you already have the extra money just lying around, these are expenses you'll need to save for. Remember that in practice, it is still recommended to have several months of pay in an emergency account before saving for another goal, just in case. If you've already decided you can afford the new expense, calculating a proper plan is simple. Go through your monthly expenses and decide on the maximum amount you can afford to save each month. If you have a set date for this expense, simply multiply this amount by the number of months left until the deadline. If the total expense exceeds this amount, your time goals may not be realistic, and you may have to be more flexible with either your timeline or the amount you're willing to save each month. This Defending Your Cash Minute is made possible by InCharge Debt Solutions. Visit us online at www.incharge.org.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Constance Dunn, author of Practical Glamour. Before we went to break, we were talking about our personal presentation, and we finished up with a list of closet necessities that we don't need a huge closet. We need a little closet. But Constance, can I ask you now, can you tell me a little bit about the importance of color? You mention it a lot in your book, and I, if you could elaborate just a little bit, that would be awesome.
Oh, sure. It's wonderful to find that there are certain shades that really just really flatter your hair, skin, and eye combination, and they really give a lift. They brighten up your features a lot. And once you know them, you can find that often there's a difference between colors that we just are drawn to. For instance, I might like turquoise a lot. It reminds me of swimming pools, and I used to buy a lot of turquoise items, and then they'd hang in the closet. It's because turquoise really doesn't work for my coloring. So I found the items that do. So as a result, as you have seen, buying clothes becomes a much easier affair, and it also helps you save money because you're not wasting money on items that you just make mistakes when it comes to color. So a quick way that you can at least understand whether what colors are going to work for you is consider whether you're a cool or a warm, and that's really easy. I don't know if you remember a book from the 80s called, I think it was Color Me Beautiful, but it was based on color theory. Yeah, so the idea is that your undertones of your skin have a lot of cool, which is to say bluish undertones, or they have a yellowish undertone, which is really which is much warmer. And that means that for every blue, let's say, there's a warm blue and there's a cooler blue. So really training your eye to see the difference between these two and understanding that, look, you're a little bit more of a cool skin tone, then you're always going to have to go for those cooler shades of blue if you're looking for this item in blue. Likewise, when it comes to gray or taupe, you know, taupe and tan and beige are very common colors. A lot of clothes are created in these neutrals these days, but there's a really quite a spectrum within these colors. So once you know that there's certain tans that are somewhat yellowish and almost beige-ish, which really aren't going to work for me as much as these kind of clay beiges that have a little bit of bluish red to them. So just really training your eye and doing some experimenting.
Unless you're Tara and it's yellow, in which case it doesn't care if it's cool or warm. I'm just being rotten. Hey, Constance, we have to move pretty quick here. We're going over, but that's all right. We want to get some stuff in. So speech and movement are one of the areas that you talk about. I'm going to leave that for the book because I really want to get into just a few minutes on the beauty part. Last in that lineup is grooming. And so we were hoping that you could share some prize at-home beauty tips for us, just some easy ones tonight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Two really easy ones. If you wear makeup at all, don't buy any makeup remover. Take some olive oil, extra virgin, and put it in a clean glass container and use that to remove your eye makeup. Your eye makeup will slide off, and it does a wonderful job of also moisturizing the eyelid area and your eyelashes. So olive oil is wonderful. And always use Q-tips as well because the area is so delicate, so you're able to kind of get in there and detail the area to remove any makeup and to do it very gently. So another really great at-home beauty tip is an aloe plant. If you haven't had one of these in a while, I really suggest they're under $10, and aloe can be used for so many at-home beauty fixes. I use it regularly as a mask, so you can basically slice open the aloe plant, scoop out the pulp, put some on your clean face, and just let it sit there for maybe about 7 minutes, rinse it off, and you'll be surprised how remarkably smooth your complexion is. It's also great for sunburn, particularly if you have little ones and they get sunburnt. You can just keep putting the aloe pulp on their skin, and you'll see it's amazing. The aloe will really just be sucked up by your skin really sucks up the aloe, and you can reapply for every about like 20 minutes if the child has a burn that's pretty bad. But it's immense as a healing and a beautifying plant as well. So.
We had them all over our house growing up. We had them everywhere.
Oh,
we
wonderful.
Would keep one in each room and in the bathroom if we skinned our knee, on the back porch if we had sunburn. She just had them everywhere. My mom, she's great. Hey, Constance, what is one – so I feel like I tend to be in the more neglectful areas. What – if you were talking to me, letting go as far as grooming, what would you say how that affects your personal presentation? If you let something go, like you don't get a haircut or you don't get your eyebrows waxed or you're wearing the wrong color or clothes are ill-fitting, how is that perceived and how is that perceived?
Well, the biggest area is always perception for the self. So whatever area really gives you a lift is the most important area as far as grooming. I've met people that really invest a lot of time in their nails because they are looking at their hands a lot, maybe for work, and that just makes them happy to look down and see these really beautifully manicured or colorful nails. So really think about the areas that make you the most happy. For instance, if it's hair, really think about how you can integrate more frequent hair care into your schedule. But it's always specific. For some people, they're really into physical fitness, and having their figure look a way that makes them happy is the most important thing. Everything else can like go to blazes, but for that area. So it's different for each of us.
Makes sense. Well, gosh, I wanted to make sure we got those quick little grooming tips in there because I know you had some good ones. There's so much more in your book, and we need to make sure we tell our listeners that because we do have to wrap. There's stuff on speech and presentation, even on the website. I dug into a lot of stuff over there. And you've got a whole other realm of stuff when it comes to, you know, like meeting friends and crafting relationships. And you probably have enough for three or four more shows.
It's really important that people understand that this is not about being somebody else. It's about yourself at its best. And I really make pains to make sure people understand that this is all about you because, as you know, when we look good and we feel good and we perform well, we attract such positive things into our lives. And I really – there's no such thing as an ugly woman or an unattractive woman, and that's what – it's very important. I just want everyone in the audience to know that there's – it's very important. It's not about looking like somebody else or looking like a model or anybody else. It's about you at your best, and there's so much beauty and pleasure in that. So,
and where you feel the most comfortable, I think we had on the show a couple of months ago. Now I'm going to lose the name of it. Shoot, dressing your truth, and so you found your truth and what really looked good on you, and what really, you know, and there was so much to gain from that show. If you guys haven't listened, you should go back and listen to that show. That goes right along with what you do, and it's just, you know, really being your best self and what makes you comfortable and what you look good in. And sometimes that means that you got to, you know, enlist some help and get your battle buddies in there to help you out because you're stuck in a rut or whatnot. And other times you tend to figure it out yourself. And maybe you didn't even head that direction for that reason, but that's where you end up. So all very good stuff. The book is amazing. You've got another book coming out in October, right?
Actually,
did I make that up?
Push a little bit. No, but I like that. That's sold. Yes.
I don't know. But you've got another one coming out very soon. There's all kinds of info on the blog on your website, the blog part of it. And they can also sign up for a newsletter, right, if I remember correctly?
Yes. And I always post tips on Facebook and Twitter as well.
I haven't followed you on Twitter yet. I need to go do that. But I did like the Facebook page, so excited to see what's going to come out there. Where can our listeners go? What is the website if they want to order the book and find out more?
Oh, sure, practicalglamour.org. So I have the O-R-G. Practical Glamour. Also, the book is on Barnes & Noble and Amazon as well.
Awesome stuff. Constance, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Oh, thank you. It's such an honor. I mean, you guys, as Army Wives, you do such an amazing job, and I know it's often an invisible one, and I want you to know that there's millions and millions of women like myself who understand what freedom is and know that you guys have a lot to do with it, and I just really love you for it, seriously.
Thanks. We appreciate it. Absolutely appreciate
you.
It. We know we have many, many other questions for you, and we got so off topic, but it was a great conversation, and we had so much fun, so really we appreciate it, and very, very much appreciate your thanks, and it means a lot to us, a lot. More than we can express, so thanks.
Oh, I can't imagine. You guys are like my heroines, so it's such an honor. When you guys reached out to me, I was like, yes, I am available.
We don't feel like heroes, but we'll take it. We will not argue that. Well, have a great night.
You too, ladies. Thank you so much.
Hey, guys, congratulations to our winner, Joe My Gosh, over there at Joe My Gosh in our Twitter party chat. Next week, it's September 22nd, and on our show, we're going to feature Emily Flynn. She's the author of Wife and War, the memoir, so you don't want to miss that, an Army spouse book.
In the meantime, join us on armywifenetwork.com, any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, YouTube, Instagram, or catch up with one of our many bloggers sharing their journey over at lovingasoldier.com.
All righty. There you have it, guys. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. And this is Army Wife Network's core team. We'll see you at Fort Meade. We're signing out.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.